Jeff's Guitar Clinic in Fort Atkinson is a multifaceted guitar shop offering guitar instruction, new and used guitars and amplifiers, and all accessories. We offer guitar repair of the highest quality. Instead of experiencing the total hassle of a big box store, take the scenic drive to Fort Atkinson and experience what total customer satisfaction is all about. Call 920-723-1733 or visit jeffsguitar.com. Jeff's Guitar Clinic. We love guitars.
You're driving home with Sly on the Big FM 93.7. Joining us now, Rebecca Campbell. She is a city council member in Madison and has been in the news over the last couple days for going to her Uncle Jim's birthday party, right? How's Uncle Jim?
That's right. He's amazing. Uncle Jim is 90 years old and still kicking.
All right. Yep. So this was a vacation.
This was my vacation, which... My husband and I have not taken a vacation since August of 2015.
Because you're both always working.
We're always working. We have a snow removal business in the winter. He has a property maintenance business. And, you know, I'm now an elected official and have to be here for the people. So,
all right. So you went to Minnesota for Uncle Jim's birthday. Then you went to the Dakotas.
Then we went out to North Dakota, where I was taking my own personal time to deliver the City of Madison resolution expressing solidarity with Indigenous resistance to the Dakota Access Pipeline. I was going to, in a government-to-government relationship, formally present our resolution, which the mayor had signed and printed and framed off in a nice parchment, to the Standing Rock chairman, David Archambault.
Okay. So you got there, you were camping, you took your car and...
And our dog.
And your dog.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah.
So you were going as an observer. You weren't really going as a protester, per se, right?
I was not protesting. I was going as, like, an emissary from our community to their community. As you know, Sly, Madison lies, is located on the traditional homelands of the Ho-Chunk people. And there are, you know, earlier this year, there was a lot of news about a proposed state law that was going to make it really easy to destroy burial mounds. Like,
right.
You know... grandma's graves. So
right.
we in this community are really attuned to the importance of those issues, the importance of respecting the land and the water. Of course, we're in the Four Lakes regions. So I think that's why the Common Council unanimously voted to support a tribe in North Dakota to defend their right to number one sovereignty and just human rights to have access to clean water. And
well,
to
even,
have their,
you know, even conservatives on principle should be opposed to this. They were all against the Kelo decision on taking land from one person to give it to somebody else for private benefit.
That's right. And let me say, Sly, that since the story of my what I consider to be a wrongful arrest for serving as a legal observer to a prayer ceremony, the outpouring of love and support from even the most conservative people in my district has been just overwhelming, and I'm going to start crying even just thinking about it. My people, the people in this community from all walks of life and all over the political spectrum are just find my arrest to be abhorrent and, you know, awful.
Well, let's go through what happened. So you went to this prayer session, this event that was going on.
Yep.
It was taking place. Was it taking place right where the pipeline was going through?
Yes. Well, that morning there were two prayer ceremonies. One was at the actual confluence of the Cannonball Missouri rivers, where the Dakota Access Pipeline is slated to be dug underneath the Missouri River, River, which provides drinking water for 17 million people. So there was an early prayer ceremony.
This is southwest of Bismarck, right?
Just across the river and south from Bismarck.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And right on the northern boundary of the Standing Rock Sioux Reservation. So there was a Lakota pipe ceremony, prayer mm-hmm. ceremony that morning. And then at the conclusion of that ceremony, it was announced that there was going to be another ceremony on the pipeline site several miles away. So this ceremony was based on, and mind you, this was on October 10th, Indigenous Peoples Day, which the City of Madison also formally recognized.
Okay.
So this ceremony was to be what they call an eagle and condor ceremony, which is based on Incan prophecies of the people from the south and the people from the north uniting to basically transform society in a good way. So at that ceremony, it was located about maybe 100 feet off of the road on the pipeline site. And the pipes were, so this was a place that had been excavated already, and the pipes were like lining the side of this excavated area, and they were ready to install the pipes. A ceremonial teepee was set up with just 16 poles and wrapped with prayer ties. And then the ceremony consisted of youth from indigenous youth from Argentina representing the South, and then two people from a tribe in the Arctic Circle, each doing their songs and dances. So that's what was happening on the site. It was not a protest. It was a prayer ceremony for the water.
Let me just reiterate, Rebecca Kemble, alderperson from the 18th District, Madison City Council. We're talking about her arrest and unbelievable list of charges. They're almost making you out to be a terrorist.
Yes, they are. Yeah.
All right. So, all right, this was taking place. There was a warning the police were coming.
Yes.
Right?
And I was there. I was accompanying my attorney friend, Patricia Hamill, who's from Madison and who has been working on the legal team out there. She is a member of the National Lawyers Guild and had was participating as a legal observer. I also had training as a legal observer back in the day in the 2011 days by our ACLU. So I knew what the job entailed, which it entailed just standing back, not participating, and documenting arrests and, you know, police behavior. So I put on a bright neon green legal observer hat, and I had my camera, my video camera, and I didn't talk to anyone. I stayed on the outskirts of the ceremony. I didn't really film the ceremony. I was just on alert for the police. So I saw the police coming in on a southern road, many, over a dozen vehicles, plus a bus, plus vans.
And you had sort of focused on them,
right? My camera was focused, because that was my job as a legal observer, to make sure people's rights were being protected as they were being arrested. Now, there were a small number of people, 16 people, who were planning to be to take a charge of criminal trespass as an act of civil disobedience.
Okay.
And they were ready to be arrested peacefully and go to jail for justice, you know, 16 people. When we saw the police coming, the MC of the ceremony, which the ceremony had concluded, he announced, "The police are on their way. If you don't want to be arrested, if you're not prepared to take an arrest, please leave the site." Most people left the site. At that time, the police were coming in military formation with riot gear, including Dane County sheriffs were there, Marathon County sheriffs were there, Wisconsin State Patrol was there. So they came in and they arrested the MC of the ceremony. He had been identified.
Now, this was
as
the
was leaving.
Cass County deputies that did the arresting, correct?
Oh, no, it was many. It was, I saw a Marathon County, Wisconsin deputy perform an arrest and badly mishandle a young woman. There were multiple jurisdictions.
Now, are you charging that the Dane County deputies mishandled people?
No, I didn't see them. I don't think they touched anyone.
Okay.
I think they were forming a line closer to the road. I didn't see them arrest anyone. But they participated in the action that, in effect, kettled people as they were attempting to leave. We were never given
what
a direct...
What does kettle mean, by the way?
It means hemming people in, not allowing them means of access, even if they want to leave. Okay, so they were shoulder to shoulder. There were multiple groups of 12 to 15. So they were like little platoons of officers in riot gear, just stationed strategically around the site.
What were the number of cops versus the number of protesters?
I think the number of cops was, I mean, it was maybe one cop to two people. And again, they weren't protesters. They considered themselves water protectors and were there doing ceremony. They weren't protesting. There was no one, again, there was no one there to see the protest. You know, Sly, when you do a protest, you're wanting media attention. You're wanting to raise an issue.
I've been to a couple.
I think you have. I've seen you there. But this was a situation. It was a very sacred day and a sacred ceremony, and there was really none of that. And so, okay, so what happened was the police started coming in and hemming people in so they couldn't leave even though they wanted. Also, the police themselves never gave a general order to disperse or you will be arrested. Nothing like that. All right, so I was down. I figured, or I knew, that people were going to take a rest down by this teepee, the ceremonial teepee. And so I was standing by kind of on the sidelines down there to make sure I could document that because that was mm-hmm. my job. So one line of police from multiple jurisdictions, as I said, including those ones on the front line, where there were Marathon County deputies there, were shoulder to shoulder across this excavated pathway. And I was far away from them on the side. I can't say exactly, but I was not in their way at all. I was videotaping. All of a sudden, so I was expecting them to turn around and start making arrests at the teepee, which was behind them and farther away from me. Then I heard the commanding officer say, "If we touch you, you'll be arrested." And then the line started slowly walking towards me, and then I backed up. But I was hemmed in by the pipeline pipes that were sitting on the ground. And as I was trying to back up, the commanding officer then lunged at me, grabbed my hand with my camera in it, pulled it around my back, and pulled both my hands around my back. My viewfinder of the camera was open, and I was trying to close the viewfinder to avoid damage to the camera. And he yelled at me, "Now you're arrested for destruction of evidence and criminal trespass."
Destruction of evidence?
Exactly. It was my camera. It's like a $1,600 camera. Why would I destroy it? And then he took the camera from me. Later, I saw it on the ground about 20 to 30 feet away from where he had taken the camera from me. It was on the ground. I don't know if he threw it there or how it got on the ground. It was sitting on the ground in front of some porta potties. They zip tied me and started pushing me across the little road there. And I said very calmly to the officer, "Officer, I will peacefully comply with any verbal command you give me. You don't have to push me. I will comply." And I don't know, maybe me saying that levy got me charged with resisting arrest as well, because I'm also charged with resisting arrest. Additionally, I'm charged with inciting a riot.
Stand by. We'll talk more with Alder Rebecca Kemble from Madison on the Big FM 93.7. You're on the Drive Home with Sly on the Big FM 93.7. Joining us, Rebecca Kemble. She is an Alder who represents the northeast side of Madison. She got caught up in a really horrific situation in North Dakota last week. Which day was this?
Monday. October 10th, Indigenous Peoples Day.
All right. So you've been charged with resisting arrest, destruction of evidence, something with rioting too?
Inciting a riot and criminal trespass.
Inciting a riot.
Yeah.
Wow. They threw everything but the kitchen sink at you.
Yeah. And I think there was, at a different location on that day, two other people had locked themselves down on a piece of equipment and they received felony charges. But I don't think they received, I think maybe they received three charges. I received four. And most of the people only received two charges of criminal trespass and inciting a riot. So I'm really, with the news about Amy Goodman's charges, the charges against the documentary filmmaker, who she's facing 45 years in prison for...
We have the dog bites to the...
Right, right? The dog bites, mm-hmm. all of that. They are targeting people with cameras. They don't want their behavior to be seen on camera. And I think, Sly, that this over-the-top and what I hope will be found illegal use of force and suppression of people's First Amendment rights is really aimed at keeping people away from the pipeline site in the moment so the company can just get it done and they will deal with the legal consequences of their immoral, unethical behavior.
Now, the president
later
has put some sort of hold on this project.
No, he has not. He has not put a hold. His agencies have asked the pipeline company to voluntarily suspend construction. That is not putting a hold. Requesting voluntary suspension of construction is not a hold.
Are they continuing with the construction?
They are continuing with the construction. So what happened on Sunday night before this all went down, Sunday, October 9th, an appeals court turned over a temporary injunction that halted the construction within 20 miles either side of the Missouri River.
Uh-huh.
So on Sunday night, that was lifted. And on Monday, that's when they started, you know, they were just going full bore on getting this thing in the ground.
As far as the Dane County deputies being there, I talked to the sheriff about a week and a half ago about this, and he told me that that he was concerned that he had been asked for help on how to keep this peaceful after what had happened with the private security firm and the attack dogs and the situation with Amy Goodman. But he had told me that he was very concerned that there was burnout among these deputies, and that when there's burnout among deputies and the local deputies, that's when things are likely to head south. So he offered Dane County deputies to fill in, so you wouldn't have this you wouldn't have the type of situation where people are losing their tempers or losing their control of their better judgment. He did explain it to me that he felt like he was doing this as a peacekeeping effort, the same way he would have during the situation with Act 10 back in 2011 and 2012. What's your feeling about? And obviously, he has decided to pull his deputies back after an outcry in the community. What should happen? How do we keep the situation peaceful? Obviously, it's not peaceful.
Well, number one, it's not Dane County's responsibility to do law enforcement in the oil fields or along the pipeline route in North Dakota. I commend Sheriff Mahoney for saying that today they were supposed to leave. I heard that a Dane County deputy was commanding one of the sites yesterday where 13 arrests were made. So they were still out there as of yesterday.
And you're meeting with the sheriff about
this. I'm meeting him tomorrow.
By the way, he will be on tomorrow night.
Good.
Okay.
Glad to hear it. Yeah, and I think he was perhaps badly misinformed about what's actually happening there. Because what's happening with the law enforcement response is not peacekeeping. The law enforcement out there in Martin County, North Dakota, is there very clearly there to protect the corporation that is trying to get the pipeline in. They are not protecting the rights, the First Amendment rights of people. They are clearly not protecting the rights of especially the native population.
So you don't think this situation is analogous to Madison and Dane County's role during the fight over Act 10?
Absolutely not. No. There are two corporations, Enbridge Energy Partners and Energy Transfer Partnership, some of the largest partnerships in the country. All right. It's the interests of those people, which, by the way, Donald Trump and the North Dakota governor, Jack
Dalrymple.
Our shareholders in. OK, they are protecting the interests of that company. Now, as David Cooper was quoted in an article in the Bismarck Tribune yesterday or 2 days ago, saying, look, law enforcement does not have to be making these arrests. They need to step back, consider the rights of everyone. They also represent the interests and concerns of the native population out there who have legitimate concerns and grievances.
Well, North Dakota's at one time was a more reasonable state. It's been taken over by the gas and oil industry.
Yeah, it's a petro state, and it's a failed petro state.
Right.
Yeah.
Because of the extraction being so bad, and now
and the
actually
price
not
is
even
going
being
down.
And yeah, now yeah. the market isn't good for it. So all these people have lost their jobs. It's the same as what's going on in Alberta.
It's that boom and bust.
So this is going on in Canada as well.
In a really, really much worse way. In Alberta, in Fort McMurray. As you know, last summer they had a devastating fire. It's all over North America.
What would you propose for what? Obviously, you want peaceful demonstrations, but there's got to be some sort of referee there. What do you think the solution is?
Well, I think the solution, people from all over the world, Sly, are at that site.
Right.
This isn't just a demonstration. These are people's deep, deep cry for the respect of the human rights of the Standing Rock Sioux people. So let's just back up to the bigger picture. What needs to happen is real consultation with the tribes. And Obama could, in a second, any time he wanted, he could do an executive order to halt any permitting process and engage in real consultation with the tribes and come up with solutions to this issue.
Well, he could halt the TPP too, but he doesn't.
Well, no, he's pushing it. Right. You know, so many people are pushing it, including our own chancellor of the UW-Madison, who was, you know, back in the day traveling the world pushing it.
Right.
And we don't need to go there right now.
But we're in agreement.
Right. At any rate, no, the president and the Army Corps of Engineers could take action right now to stop this thing and to give it time, okay? To give it time. What is the rush? Now, in 2012, Obama signed, I think it was an executive order, fast-tracking all pipeline construction. What that meant, Sly, was that there is no requirements for environmental impact statements on pipelines. And this is really the crux of the issue right here, is that there has been no environmental impact statement done in a really sensitive area where a pipeline is going to cross a river that provides drinking water to 17 million people downstream. He could reverse that. He could say, no, we have to do a full environmental statement before this proceeds. There are so many things that our president and the Army Corps of Engineers could do to just slow things down.
There's not a need for this pipeline for domestic consumption.
Exactly.
From my understanding, this pipeline is going to be eventually sending this oil to an export situation through the Gulf of Mexico.
That's right. And, this brings up a really good point. The people in southern Louisiana and Texas down in that area and the people of North Dakota are living in what is called a national sacrifice zone. Okay, these areas of our country are being sacrificed for what? For profit, for the export of fossil fuels. Okay?
With no sustainable income for the local people.
No, it's boom and bust, boom and bust, and all of the sort of degenerate social forces that come with those things. I mean, you've heard about the man camps in Williston.
Right.
You've heard about sex trafficking. And by the way, most of the women caught up in that are indigenous women from our part of the world, from northern Wisconsin and Minnesota. It's awful.
Your legal situation, what steps do you have to take now?
I have court dates in January. January 12th is my trial. I've requested a jury trial. So I'll be going back there in the dead of winter.
You're a mother. You're an elected official. Mm-hmm. You're an activist. Mm-hmm. Does this make you rethink everything that you do?
It makes me recommitted to everything I do.
It's not going to be cheap to fight this. You're obviously going to need an attorney. Can people help you?
Yeah. Yes, they can. And we're just thinking about how that can happen. I'll let people know how they can help me.
You'll let me know so you can come back on and...
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not just me, Sly. I was arrested with along with 28 other people that day, and almost every day there are arrests taking place.
Yeah. Well, I've always supported law enforcement, but I don't support the abuse of law enforcement. And this situation seems so irresponsible to me.
Yes, it is. And I think, I hope Sheriff Mahoney is waking up to that situation and to really understanding what he has committed, even if only for a week, our local resources to being involved with. It's really, it is atrocious. Let me just, for one, there is a 19-year-old Arapaho girl sitting in that teepee. She was willing to take an arrest, sitting there peacefully. They were trained in how to be arrested peacefully on these charges. I think it was a Morton County deputy pulled her up by her hair, slammed her on the ground face down, and landed on her with his knee on her neck and on the small of her back. She was zip tied, yanked up with her hands behind her back from the zip tie. That's when I had visual contact when a Marathon County deputy took control of her, shoved her down this little dirt hill, and smashed her into the side of the transport van that I was sitting in. Okay.
They didn't want a recorded record of this.
No, they didn't, but they got visuals, and there were other people on the scene I did see a picture yesterday.
You have other people that will corroborate this.
Right. I did see a picture of the Morton County Sheriff with the knee on the neck and the back, and the Marathon County deputy bending over her. I mean, so there is all evidence of this. But this is sick. This is just sick. The treatment of people, especially indigenous women. Another Standing Rock woman was stopped at a traffic stop, taken to jail, and strip searched in front of four male deputies. Now I hear from the legal team, they are strip searching and cavity searching women in jail for doing civil disobedience. This has to stop.
All right. Thank you, Rebecca. I appreciate you coming on.
Thanks, Sly.
And we'll be in touch on this.
All Thanks right? for taking the time.
Rebecca Kemble with us. She is the alder for the 18th District in Madison on the Big FM 93.7.
Sly's Office.com.
Thanks a million.
Bye-bye.